You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The setting of David Peace's new novel is post-World War II Tokyo, bombed out, American-occupied Tokyo. On the first anniversary of the Japanese surrender, the strangled bodies of two women are found, and what ensues is a fictionalized story of the real-life hunt for a Japanese serial killer who raped and murdered his way through war-torn Tokyo. Tokyo Year Zero is published by Knopf, and it is my pleasure to welcome Mr. Peace to my show today. Hello. It's interesting that a man named Peace would write such a dark tale. Yes. Did you borrow your title from Roberto Rossellini's film Germany Year
Yes.
Zero?
I love that film, and Rossellini went to Berlin. He shot that film in the rubble of Berlin, and it just seemed very apt for this novel and the whole idea of Year Zero.
And Japan was, Tokyo was very much in that state as well, had been totally bombed to rubble?
Well, in March of 45, the firebombing of Tokyo destroyed particularly the low eastern part of the city, and much of it was destroyed. The book is set in 46, and even 1 year on, there was still no running water, there was no electricity, and people were struggling to live.
How were people dealing with their loss of the war?
Well, this is a great. I mean, even now we could talk about how they're dealing with it.
It's more denial than Germany.
Well, yes, I think so. I mean, in 46, what the characters in the book are faced with is they're not only defeated, they're also occupied. And as you know, I mean, Japan had been sealed from foreigners for centuries. It was a particular psychological blow to the Japanese.
Well, you're from England, obviously, but you've lived in Tokyo for how many years now?
13 years.
Is it different for foreigners today?
When you
show up, do people still say the Gaijin is here?
I'm very happy there, and my wife is Japanese. We have two children, and I wouldn't leave there, but. But, you know, I am not Japanese, and, you know, I get on the train on the morning, and I am the only Westerner on the train,
So did that give you insight into what it must have been like after the war in a society that has such a collectivist attitude?
Well, it was actually the thing that made me most nervous about writing this book. I've written six novels before, and I was very... I wanted to write this book for a long time, but I was not sure of this idea of... Because the book is narrated by a Japanese detective, not by a member of the occupation. So this idea of getting into the Japanese mind or to find a voice for a Japanese character was something that took a long time for me to feel confident about.
Detective Minami, who has an extremely bleak and pessimistic view of his environment and of other people.
Mm. Well, I mean, he was a very, very complex character. A lot of the actual details of the investigation are taken from a Japanese policeman's memoir, but Minami is a fictional creation, and he was in mainland China during the war. He was working for the Kempeitai, the military police, and he comes then back to Tokyo, and he's dealing with a lot of guilt, and also the struggle to survive on a day-to-day basis.
I'd imagine that post-World War II Tokyo is probably not all that different from present-day Baghdad 4 years after fighting ended and the occupation began.
Well, this wasn't the...
But there was no insurgency? Was there
No.
Like,
I mean,
there's chaos, a sense of real chaos.
Yes, I mean, this was not the intention when I set out to write the book, but as I was writing the book, I write every morning and every afternoon, and I'd take my lunch break, and I'd go upstairs, and I'd watch CNN, and it was like... There were obvious similarities. I mean, the big discrepancy is, though, that when the American occupation arrived in Japan, they actually retained the system of government, whereas I think in Iraq they took away the Ba'ath Party and they took away the political apparatus. But on a day-to-day level for the ordinary Japanese, as on a day-to-day level we gather for ordinary Iraqis, this lack of water, this lack of electricity, the struggle to... earn a living and to find food for your family. Is there are similarities? Yes.
There's a lot of Reconstruction.
Yes.
Now, it took London a long time to reconstruct after the Blitz into the 60s. The same in Tokyo?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, even when I was growing up in Leeds, in Yorkshire, you could still find, you know, the bomb craters from the war, even in the 70s. But, I mean, in Tokyo, I mean, there's building work all the time in Tokyo. But, I mean, I think the Japanese like to think of the Tokyo Olympics of 1964 as their kind of, when they were readmitted into the world. And that was the incentive to, I think, build and reconstruct Tokyo as a city for the Olympics. So you could say it took them from 45 to 64 to reconstruct the city.
And how much were they still in 46, 47, the old Japan, and how much were they this new Japan? For example, the criminal here is a man they call the Japanese Bluebeard. Mm. Mm. Would he have committed those crimes at an earlier time?
Well, no. I mean, these are very interesting points, and what I try to wrestle with in the book. As you said in the introduction, it's based on a real case, and this man was called Kodaira, and he'd been a decorated soldier in the Imperial Army. He'd fought in China. He, by his own admission, he'd raped and murdered Chinese citizens, not just soldiers.
As a part of the whole war,
part of the horror of the war. But obviously, and he took pleasure in this, and then he came back to Tokyo. Before the end of the war, and basically continued to do the things he'd done on the Chinese mainland, he continued to do in Tokyo, raping and murdering 10 women. And I think it would not have happened without the war. No, I think that it was caused by the war.
My guest is David Peace, P-E-A-C-E. His latest novel, Tokyo Year Zero, is published by Knopf. The book is not written straight narrative form.
Nope. You're being polite.
Why did you decide on using this kind of disjointed approach?
Well, I wanted to try to reflect both the landscape of Tokyo as a city and also the psychological landscape, if you like, of Minami the narrator. So it's very broken and very fractured. There's a tremendous amount of repetition, which I realize the style is probably not for everybody.
There are recurring refrains that appear in italics.
Yes. Yeah.
What are some of them?
Well, I mean, this was just, I mean, I wanted to capture, I mean, the way we all think. I mean, we're talking now, in the here and now, but we have thoughts, we have dreams, we have memories, but there are things happening around us. And I wanted to try and kind of trying to put down in prose that kind of feeling, the many things that are going on in your head and around you. And so I used italics and various other forms of text to try to convey this very, very complex psychological state that Minami finds himself in.
One of the refrains that stuck with me the most was, "No one is who they say they are."
Mm.
Now, in Japan, that would have to be a rather frightening thought.
Well, yes, and I mean, it literally, in the case of the police, was true, because the occupation obviously were keen to purge anybody with a military or nationalistic background from the police. And so in order to avoid being purged and losing your job and being unable to provide for your family, many police officers assumed the names of retired or dead colleagues. And so people had different names, and so they were literally not who they said they were or who they seemed to be. And then obviously they're all the terrible things that have occurred in the war and things they might have done which they would rather forget. And this idea also that Japan, after the surrender, then is reinventing itself, and these characters are trying to reinvent themselves in this landscape.
Many of them, as you say, totally distorted by the experience. Mm. I was just looking at Ken Burns' documentary of the war, and one of the shocks is that the Japanese could be so cruel. The death march to Bataan is just one of the most shocking things.
Yes.
And the lack of respect for people who had surrendered.
Yeah.
And now suddenly these people have surrendered and they've gone back home, and they have to somehow come to grips with everything that's happened.
Yeah, and it's difficult, you know, it's difficult to imagine. I mean, I did a tremendous amount of research about not just the post-war period, but the war, obviously, to get to understand what a character like Minami must have gone through as a soldier in China. And I mean, the level of I mean, no one comes out of war well. We know that, but the level of cruelty on a very personal level to civilians, I mean, it's quite shocking. On a day-to-day level in Tokyo, I find this hard to comprehend that this could have gone on.
There are a few films, since this book is rather cinematic, a few films that dealt with it. I think it was called Pigs and Battleships.
Yes.
And and maybe some of the early post-war Kurosawa films, but not a lot.
No, not a great deal. And I mean,
the Japanese have a hard time actually dealing. For example, I think of the Ozu films, which took place during these years, but they are so much more about family life. And
yes, and they are, and I think they're like Ozu's attempt to reconstruct some kind of identity out of this kind of very fractured time. I mean, Kurosawa's. His film Drunken Angel and Stray Dog were a very big influence. I mean, I watched them probably hundreds of times while I was writing the book, particularly because they were actually shot on the streets of Tokyo. But I think, as you say, generally, it's not a period that the Japanese people seem keen to revisit.
Can you still feel the history of the war in present-day Tokyo?
You can walk. I mean, the city has obviously changed. It's a very, very prosperous city, but you can still... You know, you can read the accounts and you can walk the streets, and you have that. I live in the area which was burnt, and so you feel that kind of presence. And then on another level, there's a constant reference to, say, the constitution and things like that, which would come from the occupation. So it never really goes away for the Japanese, I feel.
So you've written this story in a way, this story about a serial killer, as a way of telling the story of the Japanese identity crisis?
Well, and particularly, I mean, if you're British or American, we've been defeated in foreign wars, but we've not been occupied. And I wanted to really try to understand what it must have been like to have surrendered and to be defeated, surrender and occupied for the ordinary people of Tokyo. And then how they dealt with that, and how this is the first in a trilogy, how it leads then to the reconstruction of Tokyo.
The other two also about Tokyo, Year Zero and the years that follow.
Yes.
Now, you've written a number of novels. This is the first one published in the United States.
Yes.
Although Granta named you one of the best young British novelists of 2003. If you stay in Japan long enough, do you think a Japanese literary magazine will name you one of the best Japanese novels?
Well, that would be very nice. This book is being published by Bungei Shunju, a leading Japanese publisher, next month, and it will be interesting to see the reaction. The publishers described it to me as a once-in-a-decade book, and it turns out they mean it in a good way. So hopefully it'll do well in Japan.
There is a lot of suspense in tracking down the murder. Mm. Reminded me of another Kurosawa film, High and Low.
Yes, yeah.
Movies are important.
Yes, but I mean, the interesting thing about High and Low is it's from, if I'm not mistaken, it's an Ed McBain novel it was based on. So, I mean, there's this kind of, transposing culture to culture.
Well, Kurosawa did that a lot. He took the American Western and made it into a Japanese thing, and then the Americans took that and made that into Star Wars. So even though the Japanese seem to be so different from us, maybe they aren't.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you know, as I say, Kurosawa did, a fantastic version of Macbeth. I think, though, to me, there are certain things that are universal.
David Peace's latest novel, Tokyo Year Zero, is published by Knopp. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.